Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com. Recorded live from the lobby of the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C.
Peace, peace. What is up, you guys? It is your favorite twins, Aryam
and Yodit,
and you're tuned in to DeSoul Radio, powered by Full Service Radio, or broadcasting live from the Lion Hotel, D.C.
That's right. Every Sunday here at 2 p.m. EST, you girls here talk all things music, culture, and everything under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And today we have a special guest in the studio.
Yep,
we're super excited to have her. She was so gracious enough to squeeze us in during her tour that she just kicked off. This week, we have Madison McFerrin in the building, y'all.
Hello.
Hey.
Wow, so many people here.
It's great. It's great. All the love
full,
is in here.
Full room right now. Yes, again, we're super excited to have Madison. She's a very talented singer-songwriter. And for those who may not know, we have a little snippet of some of her stuff. Take a listen. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Madison McFerrin and her track, her single, Try, one of our favorites here on DeSoul. And now we have the woman behind the song.
Hello, I'm here.
Yeah, so congratulations on your EP, You and I,
you just dropped,
which is essentially the kickoff for your tour as well. Great project, always on repeat. It's an easy listen.
Yes.
It's nice and short.
Yes, it's definitely like something for a self-care Sunday.
Ooh,
like yes, that. Like, and I'm all here for self-care, and a playlist to accompany it is something that is very dear to me. So when I find one, it's gold, and this is definitely on the radar for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about the project, a little bit about you. But yeah, you know, there's so much to talk about. This is your first project that actually has full production.
That's right.
Because you're mostly known for your a cappella work. For Finding Foundation. So just tell us a little bit about creating that work with your a cappella versus having a full production.
So I had originally intended to come out with production. I wrote an album called You and I like almost 4 years ago and recorded the vocals for it out in LA. I wrote it on the piano. The only thing that survived from it was Fallen. And that was the song that was initially supposed to just be a cappella. But my brother Taylor was going to produce one song and he was like, that's the song I really want to produce. So I was like, okay, that's cool. And so but he was working on his album. And so I was like, okay, I will wait for you because I want the whole thing to sound like your production. And in that time, I was like, you know what? Like, I started doing solo shows, and with the solo shows, I wasn't performing any of the stuff because I am not as comfortable playing the piano and singing in a performance setting. But I had this loop pedal, and so I started like making songs that way. And I had these really sweet a cappella songs, and I was like, let me just like record these and put them out and just get some buzz before I put out this bigger project. And then the a cappella stuff took off way more than I was anticipating, and then Taylor took a little longer than I was anticipating finishing his album. So then things just worked out probably the way that they were supposed to. So, you know,
wow, That's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because obviously you mentioned that you work with your brother and he is musically inclined and your father is musically inclined. Did that feel kind of like natural for you? Like, were you always surrounded by music and then you're like, okay, maybe I want to be an artist? Or is it something that was inside of you all along?
I never even really thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like sometimes I'm like, what else would I do? And I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I literally have no idea what else I would do. And, you know, that's a good thing and a bad thing. But I think that it was just music and singing makes me happiest. And I think it also makes other people happy.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So I'm down with that.
Yeah.
You know,
so you mentioned that you work with your brother on some of your music. And listen, like, you're speaking to two sisters. And I understand when you have a bond with the sibling, like, so much magic can happen because you can be super creative and free and transparent, right, with feedback and anything like that. I'm sure that you and your brother have come across creative differences. How do you two handle it when it comes to creating something as intimate as music?
Well, I think it really, we try to hear each other out, you know, like, for example, No Room, when he sent me the beat, I was like, I want it to just end. And I want it to cut off. And he was like, I don't really know if I like that. And I was like, okay, well, you know, this is how I want to do it. And like, I have a vision for how I hear it in my head. And you know, a lot of people have been like, hey, is that song supposed to cut off so abruptly? And it's like, yes, because in the context of the EP, it makes a little more sense.
Right.
But yeah, so other than that, like when it comes to music, we don't have a lot of differences. Like isn't that much feedback. Like it'll be super minor stuff that he probably hates me for, where I'm like, can you bring up that one background vocal? Or like, turn that down, or like just like really minor things. And he lives in Los Angeles and I live in New York, so
okay,
those little things aren't as easy versus if we see each other, it's like we can just like
do it immediately.
Yeah,
right. The distance definitely, it makes it a little bit inconvenient.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds very like pleasurable. Like me, yeah, and my sister, we're not so much in agreement all the time. Even though we're twins, we definitely disagree. And so that's good.
You mean you're different people?
What? Right? I love that. Yes. Are we? But no, that's good that your creative process is pretty fluid and sweet, you know? Like, that's something that is rare and definitely really beautiful. And I feel like with this project, you and I think what's really great about it is that, from my understanding, you're unpacking different relationship dynamics, whether it's, you know, platonic or romantic or intrapersonal, just based off of the songs that we listen to, like Unwise and No Room and things like that. And I feel like with this project, because there's so many dynamics, I thought it was interesting that she titled it You and I. Like, what was the intention behind it? Like, who was the you when...
So the original You and I was totally just like a concept album about a love story. Mm-hmm. And it was named after the Stevie Wonder song You and I.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because the original thing that I wrote, there's a chord progression at the end of You and I, and I broke it down, and each song that I wrote started with the first chord was like the chord in this chord progression. So there were 10 chords. I made 10 tracks. Each one started with a different one. And You and I is also a song that my dad sang to my mom at their wedding. And like I said, it took longer than I thought to make the EP. So I kept talking about, oh, you and I, this project that I made, you and I, right? And so there's all this record of me saying that. And when I decided to scrap the whole thing, which mainly came from the fact that, like, I grew a lot as an artist, I grew a lot as a songwriter, and, like, listening back, the songs were very, like, you know, just a little too fluffy, a little too naive and in certain ways. And I was like, okay, I've already been out here talking about this project, You and I. What else can You and I be about? you know? Mm-hmm. And so then it shifted into this idea of the different dynamics of relationships, like you said. And so it's really like the different types. It's like the larger you and the larger I mm-hmm. ideas, you know, it's like No Room is about yourself and society. Mm-hmm. So that's like a larger you, like you and I for Try is like you and I in the mirror, you know, it's like you're looking at yourself, the two, like the different parts of you. Unwise, like that's about a breakup, but like with a friend. So that's a different you and I.
Yeah, because like, when we caught your show last night, you actually gave us some context, because at first listening to Unwise, I just assumed it was about a lover, you know.
Mm. Well, I think you can think that about all the songs, you know, like even right. No Room. Like right. that's, I think that with the exception of Try, like mm-hmm. it really seems like you can just take away that they're all love songs, mm. which was kind of intentional. You yeah. know, it's like, I don't want it to be so in your face, mm. you know?
No, but I appreciate that, because there's so many types of relationships. We shouldn't just coin that as a love or romantic relationship. And when you were talking about that last night, it just gave me perspective.
Yeah, because even when you ask the audience, like, how many people have been in a friendship that didn't work out?
Everybody was like,
heartbroken from a friendship. And I was like sitting there like,
because it hurts. Yes. It really hurts. Yes. It's like a different type of hurt.
Yeah, yes. For sure. Because friendships, you know, it's so deep, and people take that very lightly. You mm-hmm. know, people seek others for, you know, as a confidant, as someone to trust, mm-hmm. you know, trust more than a romantic relationship.
You may actually be more honest with a friend than a partner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That transparency is definitely unmatched. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you talking about that and speaking about that experience through your music.
That's what's awesome about songwriters, is that you all are able to articulate like a experience, a dynamic that folks like us who are on the receiving end can interpret it how we want.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciated that content. I was like, I'm glad I caught that moment, because now I can see it for, you know, its root,
mm-hmm.
but also like it can be applied to so many things.
Mm-hmm. It's not an uncommon topic for me to write about, because my acapella tune, Learn Your Lesson, is actually not the same person, but like a different friend that mm-hmm. I was kind of burned by. And I was like, but that one's more of like a shade one. Mm. I guess they're both kind of shady, but you know.
Oh, you were being shady?
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, but well, you know.
You get hurt, man.
Right. I know, and that's a real thing. But you know what? 2020 is on the horizon. It's time to let go. Yeah. Let go of those things.
Yeah.
And I feel like this, you know, writing songs like that were probably just cathartic for you.
Oh, totally.
Just like, all right, now I'm casting that aside.
Right. I had a moment of like, should I tell her that this song is about her? And I was like, no,
it's fine. No, I think
it's
better
to interpretation.
Right,
exactly. There's some things you don't need to give
I know,
away.
I know.
And
I know.
You know, we're trying to be better people out here. It's a new decade. Mm-hmm. You know, just
cast it aside.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I feel like you're a songwriter's songwriter. Hmm. So
what do you mean by that?
I want to know, because I just feel like when I listen to your music, it feels like it's coming from you. Not to suggest that artists aren't that connected to their music, but I can feel that you experienced these moments in the music that you've written. Like, who were your influences growing up when it comes to songwriting? Like, who inspired you?
Well, I didn't really, so I wrote songs when I was like a little kid, mm-hmm. and then I stopped for a long time.
How little? Like, how young were you?
I'm talking about like six,
okay.
you know.
Was like, it first grade?
Like, I'm like, we're talking like 4, 5, 6,
oh,
7.
Wow.
And then I stopped for a long time, and then I started back up in my freshman year of college.
Wow, that's a huge gap.
Yeah. Wasn't really intentional. I don't think I had thought of the things that I was doing when I was really little as songwriting, you mm-hmm. know? And so I didn't really, even now, like, this is kind of weird to say as a songwriter, but the lyrics are the last thing that I hear when I listen to other people's songs. I mean, it's the last thing I do as well when I'm mm-hmm. writing. Like, I go chords, melody, lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm like, if I have some writer's block, maybe I'll try and like switch up the order. But there are songs to this day that I've known like my whole life, and then all of a sudden I'm paying attention to the lyrics, and I'm like, whoa. Because to me, words are just sounds mm-hmm. in their own way. So it's like it's all part of the melody and like something. So like the actual content of it is it takes a while for it to actually seep in. Mm. And so it took a while for me to like understand different songwriters that I really loved. So songwriters that I'm super inspired by are like the Beatles, Stevie Wonder, mm-hmm. Erykah Badu,
yes,
Jill Scott,
all good picks.
Yeah. But yeah, so like that's still something to this day where I'm like, oh, that's what they're saying. Got it.
And sometimes the lyrics hit you different when you get older too, right? So if you're listening to lyrics at 7, it's not going to hit you unless like you've experienced certain things in your life, and then in your 20s you're like, oh, I got that.
Particularly pain.
Pain
is like the one emotion that strikes us a little bit differently. And I feel like when you find a song that articulates a particular, you know, emotion or trauma or whatever experience you've experienced, you hear the lyrics. They just come to you. So it could be a combination of the two. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what goes on in an artist's brain. So it's interesting to hear you say that you would even look at words as sound rather than context. That's dope, though. Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, to have, like, that gift sonically, you probably hear things that the average person doesn't hear. So it's really interesting that you say that.
I'm very hyper meticulous when it comes to sound. And to the point where, like, too much talking is just, like, overbearing sound for me. It's not really.
Yeah, because even in the song No Room, it's a lot of the instrumental and the production throughout the beginning of the song, and then you start into the lyrics of it. So I've definitely paid attention to that like trend.
That's also something that I've been trying to pay more attention to, because I love to like jam pack as many words as possible, and I'm trying to practice leaving more space, you know, and like really letting time for lyrics to seep in. Like the difference between the amount of lyrics in Fallen to Unwise is like very different. Like Unwise is very like you are going to hear every single word of this song,
right?
And then Fallen is like, you know,
exactly. I wish I could do that, but yes, exactly what it is. But you make a good point, because like in that specific song, Unwise and Try, you do a lot of repetition of a word. And you really want the listener to understand that lyric and that message. And it just kind of like repeats in your mind. So I feel like that was really intentional. Yeah. And I get that for sure. But again, listening and watching you last night, it was such a pleasure. You have a personality for sure.
Yeah.
It's so funny because, you know, we've been following you for a while, and you'll be on Instagram and just keeping up with these artists. And I mean, you slay every photo. You have,
you
know, that bone structure, everything. Yes. Like
it's my mother's. It's all my mother's.
Yeah. Yes. Shout out to moms.
Shout out to mom.
But yeah, it's not until you meet people that you realize like, wow, like Madison is funny. Like during her set, y'all, if you have not seen her, please see her, because she is literally hilarious.
Yes.
Between every song, the commentary, I was laughing out loud the entire time. Yes. Like on point, but also it was like, am I at a comedy set right now? I kind of felt like that.
That's what you're paying for. You're paying for me like to
It's like a two for one, you know? It's a two for one.
I'm very much here for that.
Are people surprised by that as well? Because I was definitely, it was a pleasure.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not intentional. For like, okay, at this point it is, but like it when I started out, like I know that I'm amusing and funny. Like I've grown up around like very funny people, and it's real. Most of it is like me getting out any nervous energy, and also my dad is very funny, and very goofy on stage. Like anytime we sing together, there's like always a lot of laughter, and so I think I've just been indoctrinated with this idea of making sure funny stuff is happening during my show or during a show, or just making people laugh.
Yeah.
Like that's like a,
it actually gets people comfortable.
Yeah. It's even like an integral part of what I know.
Because your music is so intimate,
And sometimes we get really like focused and serious, and then you kind of just break it with like some humor. And I enjoyed that.
Thank you. But yeah, it's this other thing of like, there's so much time in between songs that I don't just want to be like, okay, next song, hey.
And there's artists that definitely do that, and it's like awkwardly quiet. You're like, what's happening? But no, definitely. I feel like that's so interesting that, you know, obviously you have the musical skill set that, you know, is in your gene pool, really. And you also adopted that humor. I mean, growing up, we used to watch, you know, your father and just be so happy. I mean, obviously, Don't Worry, Be Happy is a classic, but I feel like you didn't fall far from the tree, like, you know. So I just was so happy with that last night.
Yeah, it was a pleasant surprise. I loved it. We're here for Dichotomy.
Yes.
I am always here for you. For Dynamics.
But yes, y'all, we've been talking so much about her. I want you to listen to some more of her music. Our soul pick is her track, No Room. Take a listen. This is Just Soul Radio. When did it begin? Welcome back. It is Ariam.
And Yodi.
And you're tuned in to DeSoul Radio. You guys are just listening to our special guest of the day, Madison McFerrin's track, No Room. And it's been such a pleasure chatting with you and getting to know you some more. The vibes are real.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. So earlier on this interview, we played her single, Try. And that single is really well received and well known from the Color studio set, which was amazing. Yes. I mean, artists that perform on the Color studio set, it's almost like this rite of passage in this generation. It's like you've made it because it has that platform has that ability to earn people's trust and know that whoever is going to be performing, the song is going to be good.
Yeah.
It has that ability.
Yeah. And they've got a pulse on sounds from everywhere in the world.
Yeah, totally.
Which is so great.
So what was that like performing on that set?
It was pretty cool. It's like super secretive and you just kind of like go to this abandoned spot in Berlin that was former USSR propaganda or something like that.
Oh, wow.
But everybody was like really... no, there's so much USSR propaganda in Berlin that is not narrowing it down. Right. By
it's supposed to be a secret. Yeah.
But they were all super cool. I filmed it back in May, and then it was supposed to come out in August, and then they put it out in May.
Yeah,
and so I was like, oh, okay. And so I did like 3 tours without performing the song because I like didn't have the stuff yet. And so I was like, okay, you guys know about this song, but still gonna do my acapella stuff.
So people were probably anticipating you performing it.
Yeah But it was super cool. Everybody was super nice.
Yeah,
you're like, you're not allowed to take any pictures or anything.
Yeah.
We got connected through one of my tour managers, and it was just, I was super honored to have been asked to do it. You know, it was like you said, it's like kind of like a rite of passage. And I had just heard about it like a year ago or a year prior to it.
Okay.
And just within that year of me hearing it to me being on it was like such an astronomical jump of how many listeners and how many people subscribe to it.
Because it has a global, like, appearance. Yes,
super global reach.
Like, it's not even just American or European artists. They really tackle every type of artist.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the really beautiful things about it is, like, it was, you know, I've been doing this a cappella stuff, and I think anytime an artist puts out music, and particularly is, like, putting out something that's different than what people are used to, there's a lot of hesitation and self-doubt, and, you know, it's really easy to be like, are people still gonna like me because, like, I'm not doing acapella stuff anymore? Like I even still to this day I'm like, I don't know if
people. So that was like essentially your first song with production that you were totally like introducing publicly.
And so then when I put it out, I'm dealing with all of these things, and it was really beautiful to just see the amount of people commenting and liking. Like, the ratio of people that like the video to not like the video is insane. Like, it's like more so than like any other video
beautiful
that they have.
The song is beautiful. You look beautiful in it, and it's just a whole vibe.
Thank you.
Like, it is a vibe. And I have a question about that specifically, because me and Yodi, we definitely disagree on this all the time.
Let me settle it.
We need somebody to settle it, and someone that's actually been there to know. When they pick the colors, are they picking it based off the outfit that the artist is wearing or the tone of the song?
I think it's more so the outfit.
Hey, that's what I said.
Thank I mean, it's you. A green screen. It's a green screen.
Exactly.
And so then they just,
we figured
like, go
that. But we were like, what is their process? We could not decide. We were disagreeing on this for so long because I felt like they would pick it based off the song and the tone of it.
Does try come across as purple to you, tone-wise?
It can be purple. But it is. Maybe it's purple to me now because I know the video so well. Like, it's purple. Like, purple-y. But,
Hey, purple is a good... Look at Prince. I mean, Prince already knew what it was.
It's
purple,
royal,
so.
You know?
It is royal.
You had that, like, blouse. That was kind of
like
paying
the heart
homage.
Chakra,
too? I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
So, at least that's what I've noticed. Listen, I feel like when I watch it.
That's what I thought, too. But I didn't want to bring it up. But since
because
you did,
sometimes,
I'm glad you proved to be right.
Because sometimes it doesn't match the outfit necessarily. Like, you'll have some artists that have, like, I don't know. I'm still on the fence about it, but it was good to get some insight.
Okay, I can't say that definitively though because they didn't tell me.
That's true.
Like I didn't tell them what color like they chose.
They picked it for you.
Yeah, they picked it. Like I didn't know until. Yeah, they do work with like whoever your team is to like make sure it's analogous to like what your vibe is. But it wasn't a thing.
Did you hear that? They work with the team to figure out the vibe.
Aria,
she said that on air. She said that on air.
Okay, wow, we're causing fights now.
No, I'm just saying this is an ongoing disagreement.
Okay, well, we'll figure it out.
We're
on our way to figuring it out. But that's a safe spot for us. I think this is a happy medium.
Okay, fine.
We've gotten a little bit of both. But I'm glad that you're part of the tapestry of that movement.
Yes,
me too.
It's a really cool experience. And,
yeah,
and
they don't, I gained a lot of fans from it. It was really awesome.
Yeah. As you should, because it's crazy that platform doesn't do a lot of promotion prior to having a specific artist on.
Yeah.
I think they'll do one photo and then
it's like,
immediately.
It's like next up.
Yeah, next up, just like that.
And then, you know, they have such a high knowledge of talent and they're just so well versed in what each sound is. So
but the song Try, let's talk a little bit about that, because you mentioned earlier in the interview that it was really a interpersonal song. And then there's a lyric that you say, I believe it is, it's about sacrifices.
No sacrifice comes without mistakes.
No sacrifice comes without mistakes. And that, to me, stood out throughout the whole song because it is an introspective comment, right? So what made you feel like that was important to say? Because that could mean a lot of things, whether it's like compromising your beliefs or your dreams or
or even in a relationship, like that's a sacrifice because it's a gamble. What did you mean when you said that, or you decided to put that in?
Well, I think one of the big things is like, I'm really good at writing songs that are like self-help songs and not taking my own advice. Like, I'm really great at writing these songs and being like, you guys do this, and then I don't apply any of it to myself.
You know, listen, you don't even have to be a songwriter to do that. We give advice sometimes we don't even take ourselves. So
exactly. But I think it was a thing where I'm, that's something that I'm trying to remind myself, you know? I'm an independent musician, and I'm, the music industry has changed so much, particularly just in the last like 5 years. And as somebody who grew up with one example of the music industry through my father, and then seeing another example of the music industry through my brother, and then oftentimes feeling like I have no idea what is going on in the current industry, you know, I'm making a lot of mistakes. I'm fumbling a lot. I'm also doing things where it's like, I've trained myself to be a singer, and like I, that very much was like the only thing that I thought I had to pay attention to. And now we're in this thing where it's like, oh, now you got to be your own digital strategist. Now you got to be your own marketing person. Now you got to be all these other things. And it, for me, becomes very overwhelming, particularly given that I'm, you know, I've had like close to 3 decades of me being like, I'm just going to sing, right? Like, that's all I need to do. And so in this moment of being an independent musician and like really needing to push your own stuff, like a lot of mistakes happen, but it's also a sacrifice to be in this industry and like to do what I'm trying to do and do it independently, you know? And so I try, that line in particular was kind of one of those things where it's like, you're offering forgiveness for, to yourself, you know, like don't beat yourself up so much, which I beat myself up all the time.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And so just this idea of like, you're doing something that's hard and you're doing something that's not something that you were anticipating, you know? So it's like, you're gonna make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. And so don't be so hard on yourself, because that's just part of it. That's part of it. That's part of growth. Like, there's no such thing as growth that like doesn't involve mistakes being made along the way. If anything, you grow the most from mistakes. So that line in particular was something where I was like, okay, like, yeah, like, don't beat yourself up so much.
That's, you know, even though you said you don't, you should probably always remind yourself to follow that advice.
Oh, I try. Because, I try. Hey, no pun intended.
But you work a lot independently. I mean, obviously, you worked on the project with your brother and other producers, I'm sure. But when you're performing, it's really like this isolated, you know, performance. You're really on your own. You're working with the loops and everything. And, you know, when you're working on something by yourself, if you're, you know, ever feeling low, like, you have to remind yourself, like, it's okay to make these mistakes. And when you're working by yourself, you don't always have that person to be like, it's okay.
Right.
Like, we'll get this next time.
And that's also the other thing is, like, so I like to call the community of people around me my tribe. Because, you know, it's the tribe of people that, like, help you be your best self. Because even though, you know, I'm performing on stage live by myself, there are a lot of other people that I wouldn't be able to do this without, you know. Like, I wouldn't be able to do it without this woman, Ashley, who, like, does my graphics. Or Simone Sullivan, who's, like, made several items of clothing for me. Or Vrinda, Zola, and Chris, who directed the video, and Zola is the one who made the top that I was wearing last night. Yes. She made the white dress that I'm wearing in the video. Yes. You know,
so talented, by the way.
Yeah, my stylist Sal. You know, it's just like, I'm not doing this by myself.
Yeah,
if I did, I would be going insane.
Right.
And anytime I am in those places where I feel like I'm doing things by myself, that's when I get really stressed and really down and really just overwhelmed. America and Western society is very, they're it's a very like individualistic crabs in a barrel type of place, mm-hmm. and I don't think we have enough of an emphasis on community or like getting help from your community. I had a really hard time just asking for help up until recently, you know, mm-hmm. like even now I still have difficulty asking people for help because it's like, oh, I want to make it seem like I know how to do all these things by myself. And especially, you know, at, like I was saying before, I was like, oh, I grew up thinking I was just going to be a singer. And now everybody's kind of like, you need to be so visual and like all of these other things. And I'm like,
all encompassing.
You need to be all of these things. Yeah. And so it becomes very overwhelming when you're like, oh, I have to do this all myself. But it's like, no, you actually have a community of people around you who can help you make your vision possible, you know?
Well, I'm glad that you've been unlearning the habit of not asking for help, because I know even myself, like in my own life, I've seen that I would apply this like weird, unnecessary level of shame to asking for help. Like, but I'm glad that you're in a place where you can do that. You found your tribe and mm-hmm. you found your team of people to encourage you. Cause you know, sometimes you just need those reinforcers, you know? Mm-hmm. And having a song like Try could be like your daily affirmation.
Exactly.
It's an affirmation for a lot of people.
And it doesn't hurt that it sounds really good.
Yeah.
So it's like you're sending really a message, but you can jam.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Little side note, that beat was actually made for Solange.
Oh.
And she turned it down.
What?
Okay.
Fun fact.
Yeah, fun fact.
That is a fun fact.
Yeah, he gave me a file with a bunch of beats in it. And there was this one titled Solange. And I texted him. And it, of course, it was like one of my favorites. All of the ones that I picked. I was like, these ones are my favorites. Mm-hmm. And I texted him and I was like, I'm assuming I'm not supposed to use the one that's titled Solange, right? And he was like, no, it's fine. Because I think she had just put out her last album when I picked it out. And he was like, no, like you can take it.
I
was like,
yes. See, I feel like now works. With that context, I actually feel like that song makes sense for you because when I get home it has such a tone
and I like don't it wouldn't think, it would not have fit
it would have been that one outlier mm-hmm. in that project mm-hmm. so you know things happen for a reason
mm-hmm.
You did keep mentioning that you know you have to do more than just be a singer
mm-hmm.
especially in today's day so I wanted to ask you about the Sisteretta series
mm-hmm.
And I wanted you to kind of elaborate a little bit more about that.
So I've been doing a thing called the Sisteretta series. It's an all women of color lineup with music and comedians, and there's a panel discussion. It's all about honoring artists and artisans, past, present, and future, women of color specifically. It is named after Madame Sisteretta Jones, who was a 19th century opera singer. And she was regarded as like the best singer in the world. She was traveling the world and being like awarded all these medals from dignitaries. And like when you look at pictures of her, like her whole chest is just like covered with medals. Mm-hmm. She was the first African-American to sing on stage at Carnegie Hall. She sang for four consecutive presidents, but it wasn't until the last one, which I think was Roosevelt, right? That she was even allowed to walk through the front door.
Wow.
Even though she was, you know, this incredibly highly regarded singer, none of the opera houses would give her a contract because she was black. And so because of that, she decided to take matters into her own hands, and she created her own vaudeville show, which was like those were the shows of the time, you mm-hmm. know, different variety shows. And she had it with all other black folk because she wanted to make sure that they could perform without the humiliation of minstrelsy, which was how the majority of them mm-hmm. worked. Like mm-hmm. if you wanted to be a performer, like you as a black person, you a lot of the times had to perform minstrelsy, which mm-hmm. is incredibly humiliating. Like who wants to perform a stereotype of themselves looking a fool, you know, for the amusement of white people. You know, like that's like, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, but, it's demeaning for sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it also gave her an opportunity to sing opera on stage when none of these other people would give her a chance to do so. But then unfortunately, she did it for like 20 years. And then unfortunately, her mother got sick And so she left to go take care of her mom. But in that process, she ended up losing all of her money. And she essentially died penniless and without even a gravestone. And my grandfather was the first African-American to sign a contract with the Metropolitan Opera. And even with that, even being a part of that history, I had never heard of her before. And like two summers ago, New York Times, they did a series of obituaries of people that they thought that had been overlooked. I think the series is called Overlooked. Just people that they should have written obituaries for when they passed. Mm-hmm. And she was one of them. And so my partner and I, we had already been talking about creating a series that would be honoring women of color. And when it came down to picking a name, it was like, wow, like this is a woman who was on the whole like FUBU for us by right. us.
From Jump.
Yeah, from OG. Jump. Like OG right. FUBU woman.
Right.
And it seemed really appropriate to title the series after her. So I did a weekly residency in Brooklyn at a spot called Come On Everybody. And then now I'm doing it in conjunction with WNYC as a monthly residency. But this time I'm not performing. I'm just kind of getting my Oprah on and like being
curating.
Host. Yeah, curating. Yeah, that whole thing. Yes. Asking questions for the panel and whatnot.
See, this is exactly what you were talking about. Just getting your hands in different pockets and just being so involved outside of, you know, making music.
'Cause there's also, so it's much. Just like, it's one of those things where... I benefit from a certain level of nepotism from being my dad's daughter. Certain doors have been opened easier than they would be were that not the case. And given that I have begun to have a bigger, more people know about me. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to use my platform to like uplift all these incredible other people around me that like might not have the opportunity. So if you come to my show, if you come to like the Cicerettis series because you heard me on WNYC, but that also means that you get to see one of my good friends who I think is like totally badass in the process, I'm like, yeah, like you're not going to see me sing, but you're going to see my friend sing or my friend do whatever, or you're going to see my friend's artwork, you know, just like being able to, it goes back to the whole thing about like the tribe and like the community of people around you. It's like, I'm not trying to be on that crabs in a barrel mentality of like, only I can make it and none of you guys can make it either. It's like, no, we can all make it. You know, like it's already hyper competitive. It's like, I'm not trying to just like compete with everybody all the time. Right. It's like we could actually go a lot further if we go together.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yes, Madison.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my goodness. That was great. I didn't even know the backstory, first of all, of the titling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the history.
I think it's Cicerettis. There are no like recorded anythings of her to confirm. We can't confirm
or deny
it. Yeah.
That's true.
I'm saying Cicerettis.
But you know, spread that platform out for others is great. I love hearing that.
Thank you.
I guess we're just about to wrap up the show today.
I know, unfortunately. Like, I'm loving this conversation. This could go on for forever. You have to come back and we'll have to do a part two or something.
Definitely.
But thank you so much for sharing your story with us a little bit. And talking
what can we expect from you? I know you're on tour, but anything in the works coming forward? Or at least in 2020. 2020 is like tomorrow.
2020 is tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's a new decade. I don't understand it. Two people from my high school came to my show last night.
Really?
And yeah. And one of them was like, oh, don't we have a reunion in the spring or something? And I was like, stop.
I can't.
Stop. 10-year reunion. I'm not into it.
No. I'm not ready for that.
But I think 2020 is mostly like, working on whatever the debut album will be, but also working on like what's the bigger version of the Madison McFerrin show. You know, I gotta perform this music a lot and like really get it down. I'm still not like 100% comfortable with doing all of the things in the way that with my acapella show. I was like, I could do this in my sleep, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, really honing that stuff, and just trying to, you know, be a better person. You know, just like,
okay, trying, nothing wrong with being better.
Trying to, like, I'm in my, like, quote unquote Saturn return or whatever. Mm. So trying to not, like, just be the same person and really grow and evolve into who I'm meant to be.
Right.
You know. Mm.
You're on your way, though.
Thanks. It's because of people like you who, like, give me an opportunity to, like, share my story. And also, you guys did such an incredible job of just being supportive of spreading the word and everything like that. So I thank you guys so much for just, you know, helping out.
Yes, thank you. This is what we love to do. We love supporting dope artists like yourself. So keep doing you.
So we're excited to see what you will bring to the table. And good luck on the rest of your tour. Thank you all. If you have not heard or if you're interested, please go on to her website, all of that, because that is a show you do not want to miss.
Yeah, sign up for my newsletter, which is on my website.
Okay, newsletter.
Yeah, sign up for my newsletter so you know when I'm there or in your city. Follow me at Mad McFerrin and follow me on Spotify. As an independent musician, it's really important. Not just me, like anybody you like follow them, because it like really helps with the crazy algorithm that rules our lives now. So
yes.
Share the music, all of the things.
Yes, you guys heard it here.
Yeah, so Madison, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You guys, if you like what you heard, Yodi and I will be back same time, same place next week. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DEUXSOL. Till next time, peace.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening. We can.